You're listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.
The Polished Woman.
You're live.
Good afternoon, Polished Women. Today is a very special episode, and this person is very dear to my heart. And I'm already crying. She's very dear to my heart. And whatever is happening to her, I hope that you guys will listen. And this is very important. And I didn't know. I wasn't expecting. But I think it was meant for a reason that she actually approached me one day on my Facebook page. And I'm so glad she's here right now. Okay, no one knows exactly how many people are victims of sex trafficking in the United States. What is known, though, is that the number is likely on the rise and that it represents large amounts of money for traffickers and even larger amounts of grief for victims and their families. 15,000 and 30,000 each year have been a victim of sex trafficking. Today, I am joined by a brave mother as her courage can be seen as a lesson to us all. Her determination is to be able to make other mom aware of what is happening in our country, in our community, in our country is truly appreciated and admired by me and the Polished Woman group, and hoping moms out there will tune in and listen and learn from our guest mom from today, Laura Hill. How are you? A woman whose daughter was a victim of sex trafficking, and in sharing her story, she can help us better our community and our children as well. Yeah. I'm so sorry, because I was already talking to her before the show. Okay, Laura, thank you so much for being so brave to come out on our show, and I'm so glad you approached me. I'm so glad you came out. I'm so glad you're here. And okay, so now tell us your story.
Well,
I know her daughter from because she sent her daughter, right? She sent her daughter, even if she was not doing okay, but she made sure that she sent her daughter to a Christian school. Yes. And it's a very good school, and I just don't know what happened. She was my daughter's good friend when they were in preschool. Yeah,
they were best friends.
They were best friends. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
This is why I'm emotional.
You know, it started over a year and a half ago. You know, we never saw anything coming. Yeah. I mean, she had a beautiful upbringing. She was in
a lot of sports. Oh my gosh.
She had great grades. She was on an elite travel basketball. We had just spent the summer traveling for this basketball team. Mm-hmm. And it kind of hit us night and day that she may have had a mental illness that we did not know about. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like she was fine one day and manic the next, which left us questioning what happened. What was going on, and it also put her in a situation where she could be a victim, because there are predators out there that look for these children that do have mental illnesses.
Yeah, she came out here, ladies, women, because she wanted you to be aware of what's happening out there. And it all started with mental illness, right?
Yes.
I mean, can you tell them how it started?
Well, she had started getting manic. We thought, you know, she may be bipolar, because all of a sudden she was having rapid thinking. And I mean, she was able to always concentrate and have great grades before. She couldn't sleep.
She had good grades. I remember.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
She has straight A's through elementary at a private school that was very elite, very hard.
Yeah.
She didn't care for the Latin, but everything else was perfect.
And we would go to church
every
Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Yeah.
It was a very conservative upbringing. You know, we didn't even have cable most of the time.
Yes.
Just because we didn't care for the outside influences. But we didn't really know what was going on. We just knew she was a different child all of a sudden.
Okay.
and we didn't know how to limit some of the things, and some of the symptoms of bipolar or mental illness is the hypersexuality issues, that wanting to the attention and wanting the I guess to be pursued and whatnot filled some part of her mind. It's definitely a symptom of mental health issues.
So did you, okay, how old is she now?
She's 16 right now.
Mm-hmm. So did you think, did you give her a cell phone? Was she, you know, in the internet? Because I just, want the, you know, the moms to know how do you think this started? I mean, of course, we knew that, you know, what are the signs that actually
Well, she definitely seen? Had a cell phone from the time she was in fifth grade.
Okay.
We had no clue. Now it's like I know my kids might not ever get a cell phone.
Yeah.
My other kids.
Yeah.
I have four kids. We didn't monitor it. I mean, I would look through her text messages, but I wouldn't monitor. Like, she, I let her have an Instagram account, and I thought Snapchat was just an app that you take silly pictures on.
Yes.
I didn't realize that Snapchat was actually one of the tools that traffickers use, because there's no trail on Snapchat. You can't monitor, like, her messages or her posts. It deletes quickly.
Oh, okay.
So
you told me that they actually found her through Snapchat, right?
Between Snapchat and Instagram, yes.
And Instagram, okay. And you kind of mentioned also that the one that was actually trying to invite your daughter was actually a teenager.
Yes, she was 17 years old herself.
Yeah.
She is basically, she's like, a recruiter.
How did they meet? Was it?
Well, because we do live locally, you know, I guess it recommends friends and contacts.
Okay.
And so she found my daughter on Instagram.
Okay.
And she would compliment her.
Is she also in the same community?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
She lives in the same town. And this child is basically being controlled by older people. But her job, so that she's not doing what my daughter is doing, her job was to bring in more teenage girls. So she goes out, she hangs out with them, she shows them a glamorous lifestyle.
Yes.
With drugs, parties, older guys, and makes my kid actually want to be around them. But at the same time, she's hanging out with scary people. So my daughter is afraid of this girl at the same time. So
you think that a lot of this is also social media, right?
It's completely social media.
Right?
They recruit, they exploit. Like, they'll post a picture of a girl and there's emojis on there, and the emojis have a completely different language on there.
Yes, I want to clarify this, that they don't talk. They don't like write words.
No,
the way they respond to each other is through emojis.
Yes,
so that's why I think you moms out there have to be aware what kind of emojis, the meaning of each emojis that they use, right?
Yeah.
'Cause I know I've seen this from my daughter, because she would show it to me and she's like, "Mom, you know what this means?" And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, that's what it meant." Mm-hmm. I'm just so glad that we have that open communication. And And you mentioned also that because of other people who are posting on social media, that they have this, they have the clothes, they have, you know, it's very inviting, you know, for teenagers to do, you know, sex trafficking, because you would want to make money, even if you don't afford, just because you want to buy the things that you see that these other teenagers are posting, right?
You think you're going to get that same lifestyle, but you're not.
Yeah. So that's also one of the things that you've seen. You told me, you mentioned you saw the account, right? Because you were like, how it happened.
Yeah. I noticed I had a bank account in her name, and I noticed things like Cash App, Venmo, money coming in and out quickly. Like, the money would come into her account, and then she would send it out right away. So
where do you think she sent the money? Did she spend it?
It was usually to the same person, so that must have been someone profiting off her.
Oh. So it started. Okay. So how much money do you, like, see from the account? Like,
Some of it would have been like $15-$20 and from and up to like $80-$90. So, but like step one is making them comfortable in their skin as far as exploiting them. So they might be like, oh, give me a risque picture and we'll sell it for $15. And then I will get your nails done tomorrow.
Oh.
But she never got her nails done. It starts out with the small steps like that.
So it starts with photos that they sell. And you mentioned to me that sometimes it just because it pops, like they delete it the next day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they post them, they take pictures of your kids, right?
Yes.
Of your teenagers, they post them and the next day you won't see it.
Oh, it might be within a few hours. Like,
hours.
I was watching her exploiter's Instagram account because she had somewhere around 20,000 people following her. So I knew she couldn't single me out. But she would show pictures of girls saying, hey, friend, or DM this girl. She sells content. And within an hour, that post was down. And she'd have another girl she was exploiting for an hour.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's... I don't know what to say, but this is crazy. And then you tell them what happened when the time that she just disappeared, right?
Okay, so these people, they don't necessarily like, they groom your kid. It's a process of them gaining her trust.
Okay.
It's usually about a month time period that they're just trying to gain her trust. And, you know, she was hanging out just on the weekends with my daughter for about a month.
This person, the 17-year-old.
And then next thing you know, she says, hey, come spend the night with me, which she had done before. And next thing you know, she's basically saying, no, you can't come home. Just stay with me. And my daughter was missing for over a week. We were trying to get a hold of her. We couldn't get a hold of her. You know, at that point is when they had her. Like, she had...
Did you ever press charges or report this to...
At that point, I did file a missing persons report.
Okay.
And I was just desperate to get my kid home. I realized what was going on, whether she was going to admit it or not. I saw all the signs and symptoms, her disappearing. She would not talk to us, but I had people who, or family members and friends that were able to follow her on Snapchat, even though she blocked me.
Okay.
And when she would log in, it would give me like a general idea of where she was. So I would be up all night having these people send me updates like, okay, we see her in Pan City now. And at 2 a.m. she went to West Hollywood. And now she's in Palmdale by 7 a.m. I would track her location even though I could not find her. Snapchat would give a general address, but it wasn't exact.
Yes.
So I knew where she was, even though I couldn't reach her or come to her.
Now, how long was she?
She was gone a week.
For like a week?
Yes.
And so do you file? You filed for missing?
I filed for missing. Yeah. They usually make you wait, I believe it's like 72 hours. And these people know the laws, like better than the cops themselves. They know the laws. So they know after 72 hours, that's a missing person. So I filed the missing report Wednesday.
Wow, I didn't even know that. Yeah.
Ran by the house but left right away so that they can claim, oh, no, it wasn't 72 hours. I was back, and then I was gone again. So then Friday was going to be another 72 hours. So she and I had already, at that point, I had called DCFS myself and said, this is my feelings. I have a feeling this is going on. I need help. So I reached out to the police. My husband reached out to Crime Stoppers.
Yes.
With every tip that he could to get an actual investigation with the special task force. And I knew that there was a good chance when I open up a DCFS case that they wouldn't investigate us. Mm-hmm. And that it could put my other children in danger, but I needed the help, and I was desperate.
Yeah, how are the kids coping with this? I mean, the other kids, do they know?
My other teenager, I've had to sit her down and talk because she overhears things and she knows something's not right with her sister, but so that she's not going to other people asking, what do you think's going on? I've had to have some hard conversations that I didn't want to have with my other kids. They don't understand. They know that sister's sick, but they don't quite get it.
How are you right now?
Well, God has carried us through. Mm-hmm. And I can look through and see where he had his hand in everything. Even that Friday when she came back, mm-hmm. I was able to call the police.
Apparently, last Thursday, there was an incident that happened to her, and I've seen her bruises, I don't know how, you can only take so much from your daughter and, from your child, but, mm-hmm. The fact that she got beaten by her own daughter and her children while in the car, and this is because of, what she's going through and because of this, of course, apparently this is how they react after being a victim of sex trafficking, right? Can you explain to them?
There's a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of depression. There's a lot of...
Blaming,
mm-hmm. yes. There is a lot of, pushing your pain on others.
Yeah.
She's in a lot of therapy. We all are. We take things daily. And yes, last week was a big day, and we've had numerous talks with our therapists, mm-hmm. Numerous talks with all the agencies involved, mm-hmm. on how we can not keep doing this, not keep going through this. It just takes a lot of therapy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how your own child can beat you. I mean, did you do anything? Like, what did you do?
She was trying to run away. She was walking, and I was not going to just let my kid run away.
Yeah.
I stood in her pathway, and she attacked me. I know a lot of it is the fight and flight. Mm-hmm. Like, when she's calm and in her right head, she's very remorseful. And mm-hmm. But at that moment, when you have that fight or flight instinct...
Yeah.
She's still my child. I love her, and I'm going to keep fighting for her.
Yes, of course, right? So,
and I know, she's not in her right mind right now. Like, we're getting her the help she needs, though, so that she can overcome this.
What do you think? Have you spoken to any organization, or is there any, or any other, organization from our community, from Santa Clarita that is actually helping
you? Yes, there is an organization that has been lifesavers to us. They're called Zoe International. Mm-hmm. Their entire focus mm-hmm. is on ending child sex trafficking.
Yeah.
So she has an advocate. She goes to survivor meetings because she's now a survivor.
We're actually having her on our show, right? Yeah.
One of the workers, yes.
Yeah, one of the workers.
She's amazing. And they are actually contracted with LA County. Mm-hmm. So when I called, DCFS and started that and got her classified as a CSEC child, which mm-hmm. is a commercially sexually exploited child, it did open up a lot of resources like Zoe International. So, the first 72 hours, they did not leave her side. They went to the ER with her to get her examined mm-hmm. and get her treatment. They've been holding our hands through every court date. They're there with us inside the judge room mm-hmm. or inside the courtroom. And they, they'll pick her up from a basketball game and take her out to dinner just to spend that moment, her advocate, just to spend that moment with her. To invest in her.
Laura, I know this is a very, I don't know if I should ask you, but do you think there was somehow a mistake on how you approached, raising her?
honestly, yeah. I can't. I mean, we all could have done things a little better.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is just the simple fact that these people prey yeah. on these children.
Yeah.
They can see them. They can see straight through to a child and see, okay, this is a child that is hurting, or this is a child that is very insecure. Mm-hmm. You know, unless we lived isolated completely.
Yes, I know. The reason why I ask this is because, you know, moms out there, do not blame yourselves. This is the reason why I ask her, you know, there's no one to be blamed here. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I know we do everything for our children, and I've seen this. I've seen this in you. We do everything for our children, but somehow, you don't know, the what do you call that? The people around us. We just even if we tell them you can't hang out with this, and the more if you tell them to not hang out with this group or this person, the more I think that they hang out with them.
Yeah.
It's just insane. And the whole social media. I mean, we all. Love it. It helps our business and stuff. But I think this is. I'm gonna tell you my advice later when I go to my advice.
Why are their court dates? Oh, we have court dates because yeah. I did call DCFS. So we have it opened up a investigation. Mm-hmm. Basically, we have to have an open DCFS case to get all the services like Zoe International.
Yes.
And all the mental health help. Like, they provide a lot of therapy and resources.
Did she ever went through a suicidal thought? Or
she has, and this was before that we realized the trafficking. This is when we thought we were just dealing with mental illness.
Yeah. Did the sex traffic already happen?
No,
or
it
not
did not yet?
Okay.
No. She had... She was basically seeking attention in a sense, but at the same time, she was having some suicidal thoughts. Mm-hmm. So she actually had checked herself into urgent care.
Okay.
And at that point, they transferred her to a hospital and put her on a 72-hour hold.
Okay.
And I was with her for the first 18 hours before they actually transferred her to a facility.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of psych facilities for children in LA County.
No,
so
I know.
She wound up in Cerritos.
And it's very expensive, you guys. Mm-hmm. this is why I really want to have this organization. And I want to talk to your people. You know, I really want to be, a part of this. So do you think she's been freed from the sex trafficking? Like, you know, have you informed the cops about this group that,
yes.
you know? Yeah.
Yes, we have been working with the task force. They work mostly with the girls. They confiscated her phone, and they got all of that information.
Okay.
They tried to give it back, and I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
She's not welcome to have a phone anymore.
Yeah.
There's no way of getting a hold of her unless you want to call a parent.
Yeah.
So
have they gotten in touch of that 17-year-old girl that was doing the whole thing?
I'm not sure. They don't really tell me what's going on with their investigation. It is an open investigation.
Okay.
And, you know, my daughter works with the task force, the detectives. Like, they've interviewed her.
So she's working with them
mm-hmm.
as well?
Yes.
Okay.
What did she find out when it was actually a sex trafficking?
That it was actually a sex trafficking.
Well, my daughter actually didn't even know she was even involved in that.
She didn't know.
She did not have a clue. All she knew was that
she was sending pictures, photos.
She thought she was making money. She was okay, or not even making money. They would offer her drugs, and she was like, okay. She liked to smoke marijuana. So
before this whole happened with a group of those people, was she already doing drugs at the time, or was she already like, you know, teenagers, they party and they do stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was definitely smoking marijuana. I was drug testing her regularly. I would buy the drug tests on Amazon.
Okay.
And you could buy them specifically for the THC.
Yeah.
And I would give her incentives to quit and not do it, but it was hard when you go to a public school.
Okay.
And it's in every locker room. It's in every campus.
Yeah, you can actually hide it.
Yep.
Right? You can hide it now. It's
yeah.
so easy.
Well,
and you can't,
like,
there's no smell. You can't smell anything.
Yeah.
Are you or your daughter viewed differently by your family? I mean, by your friends or by friends? How are the friends, interacting with this whole thing?
It's been hard for me to open up to people about this
because
it almost feels like no one's ever been through this. But then as you start to open up, you find out how common this is.
Yeah.
Where is it most common?
I mean, it's everywhere. It is everywhere. Like, I mean, you can't even be in Valencia without it.
Yeah.
Like Santa Clarita. It's all over Palmdale, all over the valley, all over LA. It's all over this country. It's everywhere.
This is the reason why she's actually here. This is the reason why she's opening up to you, because, you know, she wants all of you moms out there to be aware of what is happening around and what is happening to your teenagers and whole social media. I mean, you just really need to be, I think, on it. Like,
yes.
if you allow your kids, I know, I mean, I tried to be there for them. I mean, I tried to be like, I have all her accounts and I check my Brianna, but you can only do so much, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, this is why she's here. This is why she's sharing. Okay, I know that we only have, I'm so bummed, but I want to invite you again when Kat, when we invite your other friend who was actually a victim of the sex trafficking as well, and she's willing to speak to us. I want you to give our moms out there, you know, important things that they need to know.
Okay.
So listen, signs and tips.
Okay.
So this is all...
Well, signs and tips would be knowing your kids' friends. I honestly think that children or teenagers do not belong on social media, but if they do, are on it, make sure you're signed into their accounts and check and see if they have other hidden accounts, because most kids have more than one accounts that you don't even know of. If new friends come around and all of a sudden they're, you know, always wanting to talk to the kid about the kid and not about themselves and always just playing into them as being a victim, that's a big warning sign. It's a part of a grooming process of them gaining trust of the kid. Ignore the stigma and talk to others. Mental health needs to be faced. Getting proper therapy, if you're going through this alone, it's so much harder. It could be very isolating, so connecting to other mothers is important. And learning self-care and setting limits.
Connected to other mothers?
I have started.
Yeah.
I have started connecting to other people who have children with mental illnesses. Mm-hmm. Because what works for one kid will not work for the other. And what worked for your kid last month might not work this month. It's constantly learning and setting boundaries and looking at the positives. Like, you know, on Thursday, 5 things went really wrong, but 3 things went great. Mm-hmm. And so we will work on those 5 things on the next time. And then something else might go wrong and we'll work on it. It's adjusting every day, every minute.
Is there a number? If you want to call us, if you want to, ask us about Laura, you can call me and at thepolishedwoman.com, The Polished Woman Instagram, and The Polished Woman Facebook, and Twitter as well. Laura, never yield. I like this one. I got this from, I forgot her name, but her last name is Cohen. Never yield to gloomy anticipation. You know, place your hope and confidence in God that this will be resolved. You know that.
Yes,
you
yes,
know that.
I
yeah.
Know
remember,
that.
God has no records of failure, especially if you believe.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure there is something. This is maybe your purpose, that this is happening. You know, you have to, you're the first one who actually came out here and, you know, and came out and, you know, who was brave enough to actually share your story and, you know, what is happening to your daughter. You're really brave.
If I can help one other mom.
Yeah.
That's my purpose right now.
Yeah. You know, thank you so much.
Oh, and you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And if your daughter is watching, I love her so much. She was, she was a part of our life one time. And, you know, please, you know, don't ruin your life for this. Whatever you're seeing outside, this is not real. This is not real. And what you have in your family with your family is the one that's real. Okay, the American Psychiatric Association reported that from 2016 to 2017, the number of adults who described themselves as more anxious than the previous year rose 36%. In 2017, more than 17 million American adults had a new diagnosis of major depressive disorder, as well as 3 million adolescents ages 12 to 17. You guys, 40 million adults now suffer from an anxiety disorder, nearly 20% of the adult population. These are the known cases of depression and anxiety. The actual numbers must be dumbfounding. The really sorrowful reports concern suicidal. Among all Americans, a suicide rate increased by 33% between 1999 and 2017. All of these mental health problems and depression is occurring at a time most especially when social media started. Beyond bitter social antagonism or continuous competition of followers and likes or comments, the country is racked by mass shootings, mind-bending perils of internet revelations of widespread sexual predation, the worsening effects of climate change, toxic competitions, grinding student debt, and crisis in housing and sex trafficking. The frightening environment helps cause depression. Depression causes catastrophic thinking makes the environment seem even more terrifying than it is. What can we do? How do we stop this? How do we prevent our young ones not to be victims from all these catastrophes? Guys, if you are in social media, ladies, please, 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 I, you know who you are. There are a lot of actors, actresses who are in the business or even rich people. We already know you are freaking rich. We already know you have all the money in the world. But do not, like, flaunt it. You already know. Don't flaunt it. Stop flaunting what you have. Stop flaunting what you just bought. Stop flaunting where you went. Yeah, and stop flaunting your body. Stop this. Let's use social media for business. Let's use social media for inspiring people and uplifting people and not flaunting what you have. So let's stop this, please. Because I have kids, and our kids will have kids as well and children. You know, if you want the next generation to be a little bit, you know, more educated and more knowledgeable, please, let's stop doing this. And thank you so much. Thank you so much, Laura,
for coming
to our show.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
I'm so sorry. I'm so mad. Okay.
I get it.
Thank you so much. And give love to the next person after watching this show. See you next week, and hopefully we can have chat next week. Yes. Thank you. Bye.